Many of us are under a lot of mental health strain. So, how about some video games? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. For decades, mental health professionals have been using toys and games to engage patients during therapy. And during the pandemic, that was a lot harder when therapy went remote. So some therapists are ditching analog games like Candyland for world-building online games like Roblox or Minecraft.
Let's go to a place where everything is made of blocks, where the only limit is your imagination.
Geek Therapy is a nonprofit organization that advocates for video games to be used for therapy, and Josue Cardona is the group's president. He says since lots of people are gaming anyway, it's only logical it shows up in therapy.
I think the toys that people are playing with are changing. So The Association of Play Therapy has these very core principles, therapeutic powers of play, and they apply to video games the same. And video games are so popular, it just makes sense that therapists would just start using them and clients would start asking to use them as well.
So what sorts of mental health concerns do you tend to use this type of play therapy to address?
The usual, depression, anxiety. Those are things that come up often. And it's so unique to each client, what they like to play, what they're experiencing, and how whatever they're dealing with kind of comes up during the game. So there's some games that are very open world. So you have the opportunity to travel, you know, anywhere you want to go and do whatever you want. And some clients, they struggle with that. They have a lot of anxiety about making decisions and playing a game that is so open-ended. It's an experience that is contained and in a very safe space and an environment that then we can kind of control different variables and address those concerns.
Are there any additional privacy concerns or HIPAA considerations that you have to worry about when you do bring in video games into therapy?
It's interesting. A lot of therapists are very concerned about that. And the truth is that the answer is usually just use the tools that you already use for remote therapy, like Zoom or any other HIPAA-compliant service, and then use that for communication.
I think many of us growing up were told by our parents that if we played too many video games, our brains would turn to mush.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you sell this idea of actually using gaming as therapy to parents or even to patients?
Something that makes that a lot easier now is that a lot of us who had parents who told us that are parents now. And so we don't necessarily tell our kids that, which makes it much, much easier to sell the idea of gaming within therapy. But some parents are resistant. And so I like to refer to the nearly 227 million players in the US.
But I'm also imagining that some people may balk at the idea of paying therapy rates for someone to play video games with their kid or themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're relying a lot on what's happened already in the play therapy world, which for decades, they've been using toys and games and sand tray and things like that. And so there's a part of the population that is willing and accepting and open to doing that. It's also interesting that a lot of kids are more willing to go to therapy, work with a counselor, if that is on the table, you know, than if not. So I've had parents say, you know, my son, I think it would benefit them a lot if they saw a therapist. They never want to go, or they go and they don't want to keep going. But with you, they want to keep coming because you're willing to not only talk to them about Minecraft, but also play the game in session. It's definitely opened a lot of doors for a lot of families to come into the mental health space.
I guess you have to be pretty good at Minecraft, though, so the kids don't like make fun of you during the session.
Nah, sometimes you just pretend that you don't know what you're doing and the kids want to teach you. It's better that way. They love to teach you and think that they know more than you.
The U.S. Surgeon General just put out a 53-page advisory highlighting the crisis that is basically the mental health effects of the pandemic on youth in the U.S. What role do you think gaming therapy or therapy that includes gaming might play in addressing this?
The fact that we are calling attention to youth mental health right now, right, in light of the pandemic, is so great. And I think that anything that attracts that age group is more willing and open to great opportunity for more therapy and more therapeutic services to embrace that. 10 years ago, when I started Geek Therapy, my supervisor said, absolutely not, do not use video games. And my argument was that that's the language that the kids are speaking. So it makes sense to use that and embrace it. And it's proven to be true. You know, so that age group, those that like video games, let's talk to them about video games. Those that like, you know, Taylor Swift, let's talk to them about Taylor Swift. Whatever gets them in the door.
You mentioned Minecraft. What other games do you find are particularly good for therapy that maybe people wouldn't think of using as a therapeutic device?
I think probably my favorite right now would be Fortnite. It is a very popular game that many people just assume is, you know, 100 people dropped in an island and everybody's just killing each other. But the game is not, nobody actually dies in the game. Everybody, when someone loses their points, they get taken away by an alien ship and teleported. So, you know, it's less violent in that sense. It's very cartoony in its violence, but it also has many modes. So you can jump into a party mode, for example, or a creative mode and just create a space together. You can, you know, design different experiences for therapy or just to hang out and walk around in, very similar to something like Minecraft.
Josue Cardona is the president of Geek Therapy. And now for some related links. Wired has a detailed story on how the pandemic has helped push online gaming into the therapeutic mainstream, and it gets into research showing that in some cases, video games can be as effective or more effective than other mental health interventions. We'll have a link to that piece on our website, marketplacetech.org, along with a link to that Surgeon General's advisory we mentioned, Protecting Youth Mental Health. Josue's group, Geek Therapy, has actually been doing this work for quite a while. The organization is celebrating its 10th anniversary this year. According to Josue, Geek Therapy involves more than gaming. It also includes things like comic books, Dungeons and Dragons, or my favorite, anime. Josue is also co-founder of the Let's Play Therapy Institute, which trains mental health professionals to deploy some of these strategies in play therapy. But the Institute also has some free trainings open to the general public, including how to use Animal Crossing, Roblox, Minecraft, or Fortnite in play therapy. We'll have a link to that as well, but remember to turn to a professional therapist if you or a loved one needs support. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.